You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So we've done a lot of shows here looking at the NFL draft, and I'll have a new mock draft for real. There's a April Fool's mock draft I have up at SportingNews.com, but that was a little fun there. We'll have an updated mock, and I'll break that down here. And we've also talked a lot about NFL free agency, the takeaways, the teams forming themselves with the veterans, and how things are changing. We'll take a little bit of a change up this week to start this week. We also will have the NFL schedules coming out, so we'll do some fantasy analysis of the schedule as well coming up here shortly once we know it. Probably going to be middle of April here as we start April. What I will look at, however, is the consensus overall rankings there on Fantasy Pros. It's the site that we use a lot just because it takes the pulse of all the websites together here. So, and it pulls everyone together in terms of what people are looking at overall in the draft. They're early ahead of the 2019 season. It's April 1st. We won't start, obviously, until September, but this is a good time as any as we're inside, actually, the six-month window. So advanced scouting, it never starts too early, and here we go looking at this. And we've hinted at what it might look like before, but now we're kind of putting the names with the numbers in terms of ranking. So what we'll do here on today's show is kind of look at the top 25, and we'll come back and look at the guys that are ranked 26 through 50 and go through it this entire week to see how we feel about these rankings. And we're going with the ones that were just published there, updated through April 1st on Fantasy Pros. So let's dive right into it, and we'll kind of look at it as blocks here. Now, number one overall pick is our first question. Who is that pick? Now, based on volume, we know who the main guys were last year. Todd Gurley was dominating until the end of the season when the knee issues came up and he couldn't quite deliver. And James Conner was chugging along there with no Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. But Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley were the two major workhorses on their teams. They just touched the ball an incredible amount of time, involved in the running and passing game. Also there to finish drives in the red zone. The volume was just high. They just didn't have bad games because they were shut down in the running game. They would have big reception games. In PPR, they're just that much better. So we're talking standard for this particular reason, but it's because it's a little easier to compare players that way across positions. But we're looking at Saquon Barkley being the number one overall pick. Ezekiel Elliott is number two and Christian McCaffrey number three. Now, I think this is how it plays out. I think Elliott, you're just a little safer with because of the touchdowns and maybe the durability. McCaffrey, who knows, a smaller guy, but we also know he's been extremely durable with a high volume. From his days at Stanford, early with the Panthers, he took on the extra workload there for North Turner. Was not a detriment. And if you look at it right now, Barkley bumps up really because there's no Odell Beckham Jr. Now, in some ways, you think that might hurt Barkley with all the attention, but he's just going to eat up the short passing game if he's not running the ball and the Giants are trailing, and we saw that a lot last year. So I don't know if the Giants passing game can be any more anemic. So when you look at that, even with Odell Beckham Jr., there was a threat there to maybe draw some attention. Now you're looking at Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard instead, but the volume is going to be massive for Barkley. He's probably going to be close to 60% of this offense right now. So Barkley's special. He's in his prime, in his second year. He's in the wheelhouse. We know McCaffrey went off in his year two here. So everything aligns for Barkley to be that number one pick. And he's, I think, rightly ranked at number one. And I can see why we like Elliott ahead of McCaffrey as well. Just a little bit more durable. Elliott doesn't really have a clear-cut backup. McCaffrey could actually get one in the draft, so that could separate these two guys a little bit more. You could see a little bit of DJ Moore involved and some other players there Ezekiel Elliott could be hurt by the fact you have now Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Randall Cobb in the passing game, so Dak could do a little bit more. But overall, I think Elliott plays well off of that. He's really still the, I'd say, the second option after Cooper in the passing game, still with the addition of Cobb. So I don't see that changing all that much. And you look at Elliott, just we know the track record's there, consistency, the numbers are going to be there. We have a little bit more to go on versus McCaffrey and a little bit more durability there. And I think that's why you have Barkley, Elliott, McCaffrey as your 1, 2, 3. Now, looking at your next guys here, Todd Gurley. This was a tough one to rank for a lot of people. He's number 4 here right now at running back. And this is going to be tough because they want to limit his carries a little bit. But you also know that he is a workhorse and he's a special back based on talent. They give him a big deal. Hopefully he'll have the offseason here to totally get healed and whatever the mysterious knee injury that was maybe underreported, overreported in terms of the severity is gone, and you feel a little bit better about him. But that's why, clearly, to Todd Gurley, even with the big season, you have to drop him to 4 behind those other 3 guys, Barkley, Elliott, and McCaffrey. So those are pretty solid rankings there. And now Alvin Kamara is next, and I almost like Kamara better than Gurley. I know they have Latavius Murray there, but Gurley's going to get somebody who's going to cut into his time as well. It's not going to be C.J. Anderson when they re-sign, but I'd say Kamara is a guy that I would look ahead of Gurley. I would even maybe look at Melvin Gordon ahead of Gurley just because they use Gordon in a lot of different ways. I think having Keenan Allen and Mike Williams there is fine, but they could change things up a little bit. You could have Hunter Henry in the passing game now fully healthy to be a factor there. Austin Eckler in the usage. So Kamara over Gordon makes sense. I think Gordon versus Gurley is a good debate there. In the top 6 there. But I personally like Kamara not far behind McCaffrey. The only reason is we have Latavius Murray. He's pretty much going to step in and take the Mark Ingram touches in that offense for New Orleans. So that's what's considered tier 1. And I agree with that because that's when you start to have the running back drop off there. Not too much, but I think that's also when there are some wide receivers that come into play that could be more appealing than running backs there in the first round. So I'd say the next guy that you might look at is DeAndre Hopkins. And I know people are looking at Julio Jones for that big contract and Odell Beckham Jr., the buzz around him with the Browns. But DeAndre Hopkins is one of those guys, go-to guy, great rapport with his quarterback. Deshaun Watson, doesn't matter if there's Will Fuller on the other side. Who else is helping? Kiki Kuti, doesn't matter. Hopkins is just consistent. He finds a way to get the job done. We can wake out. He is the one wide receiver that really operates like a running back because of his usage, whether it's yardage, catches, or touchdowns. He's going to get his every week. So makes a lot of sense. Hopkins is the number one wide receiver there, and however you slice it, because I think there are other guys in other situations that can cut into people. Well, if Lamar Miller, Dante Foreman, Fuller's more of a big play stretch field type guy. They don't really operate a tight end. So Hopkins is also the safety valve for Watson as well. So when you look at all that, the volume, the consistency, the production, and in no matter what type of situation, if they're trailing or ahead, Hopkins is going to get the numbers that is going to please you as that wide receiver one that's worthy of taking ahead of an RB1 in round number 1 in your fantasy football draft. So there's the look at the top tier of running backs and your first wide receiver. We'll continue to look at the rest of the top 25 here in a moment. Rankings on Fantasy Pros, very early fantasy football rankings. But a reminder, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, don't forget about downloading the show through Himalaya. And it's been easier than ever, and a new, great new platform to check out for Locked On Fantasy Football, all the shows here on the Locked On Network. And now with smart speakers, whether you're in your car or at home, it's easy. Just say play podcast Locked On Fantasy Football. All our shows are just that easy to listen to with your smart device, wherever you are, whether you're home or on the go. And with the Himalaya app, you can download those and get them streamlined and have your sub ready to go wherever you are. We'll be right back here to start looking at the next group of players here in the top 25 consensus fantasy football rankings. All right. We have a nice debate here that will start. Now, before we talk about the next wide receiver who's ranked number 9 here on Fantasy Pros, let's look at the number 8 and number 10 running backs still in that RB1 conversation. We have the debate, James Conner and Le'Veon Bell. That's kind of appropriate here that these two guys are battling. Now, Conner, we know he stepped in for Bell and was fine and produced, and everything was great there at a high level. He won people leagues, taking him as a late afterthought, not knowing the situation Bell and how long he was going to hold out. He won a lot of leagues last year. We know that. He finished. He was productive. He wore down a little bit late in the season, but Jalen Samuel and others just couldn't quite be the same producer. So Conner should be better. He showed more as a receiver than people expected last year. He's going to be even more complete back this year. That said, I'd rather have Le'Veon Bell. Bell is well rested. He's on a Jets team that's going to feed him the ball. I think they're going to have some legitimate downfield threats there, led by Robbie Anderson. Sam Darnold is an up-and-coming quarterback there. I know Ben Roethlisberger is in a good position, and Conner might be leading on more with no Antonio Brown, but I feel like the upside of the Steelers' offense is a little bit more capped in terms of finishing drives. Well, I think the Jets have that higher trajectory. Bell has fresher legs. I think Bell is just a better talent overall than Conner. He's going to be consistently involved in the passing game, and he's a better receiver still than Conner. So if I had to go between Bell and Conner, I'm going Bell. I know Conner was the guy du jour in Pittsburgh, but I think Bell going away from Pittsburgh to the Jets can be very productive. Now, Davante Adams versus Michael Thomas, number 9 and number 11 in the consensus rankings. That's a good little debate here. I think Michael Thomas is any of your PPR and yardage. I go there. Adams, however, is the touchdown guy, very consistent in doing that. I think when you look at these two teams, who's going to get more help? I think one guy that's going to really cut into a little bit of what Thomas does, especially in the red zone scoring opportunities, is Jared Cook, who the Saints did sign at tight end. While the Packers just are stuck on Jimmy Graham, their young receivers, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jamon Moore, and Equanimeous St. Brown. So when you look at that, I think Adams is still the man. We know Aaron Rodgers still trusts him. I think this Packers offense with Aaron Jones is going to be better in moving the ball, more opportunities for Adams to finish drives. So that's why I have Adams over Thomas, 9 and 11, as the wide receiver 2 versus Thomas at wide receiver 3, and that makes a lot of sense here. Both wide receiver 1s overall on your fantasy football board. Now, the next debate we have, 13 and 14, is Julio Jones and Odell Beckham Jr. coming at 4-5. Now, we've seen these guys all kind of clumped up here in the past, Beckham and Jones and Hopkins, how to make that decision. One guy's missing. We'll talk about him here soon, is Antonio Brown. So he's not in this conversation anymore. So weird to see Antonio Brown not in that high wide receiver conversation with Hopkins, Jones, and Beckham. But now why we look at Jones being ahead of Adams and Thomas. We know the reason. It's the touchdowns. We're concerned about that for Julio Jones finishing. Although he came on strong and scored a lot in the second half of last season, he's going to be a yardage beast. But in terms of volume and reliability, it's with everything going on, I think Jones is a very close third to Adams and Thomas, and clearly behind Hopkins here in this mix. But, I mean, this is a really good wealth of wide receiver when you know that we haven't even talked about Antonio Brown yet, and you have Jones and Beckham debating as the wide receiver 4 and wide receiver 5 at 13 and 14 overall in these consensus rankings. That tells you right away that you can come out. If you've got that 12-13 pick there at the end or 10-11, you're going to look really good because you're going to have an elite RB and a very high-end wide receiver. Really not too much difference when you get to Beckham from where you started with Hopkins. And I think with Jones, I think the touchdowns is a little bit of concern, and sometimes the hit or miss in games. So the consistency may not be as much there. He could have some big games, but I think that's where Hopkins really stands out, is the consistency. Odell Beckham Jr., we know he can fade in some games. He can also have monster games. I think I would go Beckham over Jones. I know Jones has got Calvin Ridley. You got the option of Jarvis Landry in Cleveland on the other side from Odell Beckham Jr., but you got Baker Mayfield, the better quarterback, I think, right now, to me, than Matt Ryan. Yep, that's true. I mean, I know Matt Ryan has been an MVP just a couple of years ago, but to me, Baker Mayfield has the higher trajectory, the better downfield passer, Beckham is the better downfield finisher. I think Landry's better than Ridley. So when you look overall, that's where you're going to go here with that. The other debate we have is Mixon and Johnson. It sounds like a little bit of a throwback to the 1960s and politics, but Joe Mixon and David Johnson, who wins this debate? Now, I'm leaning towards more David Johnson because it's Cliff Kingsbury. He's a creative coach. They don't have much there behind Larry Fitzgerald. I know they signed Kevin White. That's a major flyer here, but not much else at wide receiver. David Johnson was a wide receiver at Northern Iowa. They can move him around. I think David Johnson's in for a big rebound season. Well, Joe Mixon, again, new coach there as well, and Zach Taylor. We'll see how Mixon has worked in, if his workload is there. But David Johnson, big bounce back situation. I think he's a better overall talent than Mixon, especially in the passing game. So if I'm in PPR or in touchdown leaning leagues, I like Johnson in both scenarios here to really rebound, because I trust Kingsbury a little bit more than Taylor taking over. So that's going to be an interesting one. As we see, we're going to have to see a lot more Mixon and Johnson operate in their new offenses and go from there. We have Nick Chubb coming in there. We have to see. Kareem Hunt's not going to be available. Looks like they might be moving Duke Johnson, which is going to bump up Nick Chubb. And I think Nick Chubb might have more appeal to me there than Mixon in the end. So we'll have to watch this little cluster here, the end of the RB1, so to speak, when you're looking at players here. And throw in Dalvin Cook in that mix as well. There's no more Latavius Murray. So Cook could have a little bit higher than Chubb. So in the end, Chubb and Cook might have a little bit more appeal. Chubb is in a high-scoring offense. He can finish drives. There are mouths to feed, but there are also going to be a lot of scoring opportunities and finishing drive and playing ahead opportunities for Chubb. So that could be the tiebreaker between Chubb and Mixon and Johnson there. And Dalvin Cook, the offensive line concerns you a little bit there in Minnesota. They are trying to upgrade. But Cook is also there because of the volume. So we'll see how all these guys play out. But if I had to go right now, if Duke Johnson is moved, then I'm liking Nick Chubb to the top of this list. David Johnson next, Mixon, and then Cook is how I break this down right now. It's really close, but that's kind of the end of your RB1 tiers, which is the 12 top running backs on the board. And that's how Fantasy Pros from the consensus sees them. And before we get into our last few picks, reminder, it's draft season. We've been talking a lot about the draft here on the show. And with that, we have a couple great shows on the network, Locked On NFL Draft, the Draft Dudes podcast, as well as our Team by Team podcast, taking you through what every team needs, what every team can do to get better in the 2019 NFL Draft. And check out those shows. They're revving up here. Just 25 days away, final month, we're here for the 2019 draft. So check out all the shows, get the greatest insight here on any podcast network, including from Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to look at 18 through 25 in your early 2019 fantasy football overall rankings. Okay, we're up to 18, and 18 we have tight ends. Tight ends make their first appearance here, and actually we're going to talk about three in the stretch. Travis Kelce 18 and Zach Ertz 21 and George Kittle 23. Wow, this is pretty close, but Travis Kelce I think gets a bump up here because there's no Demetrius Harris behind him. There's no Chris Conley at wide receiver. Sammy Watkins is really the number three more option. There's no Kareem Hunt, don't forget that. So when you look at it, and there's some issues with Tyreek Hill, and speaking of Tyreek Hill, he's 20. Wait till you hear who's number 19 so far, and that kind of may surprise everyone. But Kelce and Hill, where do you go? I think Kelce becomes the number one here because of Hill and all those issues and getting the ball downfield. Kelce and the touchdowns and finishing, and Hill and the consistency. I think Hill's the guy more likely to be double-teamed and taken out of games, while Kelce's harder to cover here. So this makes a little bit of kind of a head-scratchingness, but a lot of sense as well to look at Kelce over Hill. Now, number 19, we have Antonio Brown. Yes, he's the wide receiver 6 on the board. That is hard to fathom, but that's where he is. I actually like him better than Hill, who's at number 20, just because of things going on, the cloud, this offense a little bit. Brown is going to still be the go-to guy at the Raiders. It doesn't matter who his quarterback is. Derek Carr, we know, can feed one guy consistently a ton. Antonio Brown is better than anything he had with Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree, so I think Antonio Brown, volume alone, I like him over Hill here. And really Travis Kelce, I would think Brown has a little bit more value as well. I'm not prepared to go that high on a tight end. Basically, you're looking at a mid-second round pick on a tight end in a 12-team league. I might wait a little bit more, especially the way the rest of the rankings play out now. Number 21, you have Zach Ertz there. Number 23, Kittle. So look at Kittle. Kittle could really outscore Kelce and Ertz. He's the number one option there in San Francisco, especially with no Pierre Garçon there. And Marquise Goodwin and Dante Pettis trying to work those guys in. Jordan Matthews. George Kittle still looks like the go-to guy. I know they're switching quarterbacks. It's no longer that Iowa connection with C.J. Beathard, but it's Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to know that George Kittle's a beast here. Zach Ertz is locked in with Carson Wentz. A little concerned there because they have DeSean Jackson as well coming in with Alshon Jeffrey into the targets a little bit while Kittle is up there. So I might like Kittle closer to Kelce and ahead of Ertz, but more in this range behind Antonio Brown to me in the draft. And this next guy as well, number 22. Speaking of Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster now is the clear number one in Pittsburgh. Now, he's in a little bit better offense, but Antonio Brown's still the more talented receiver at this point. It's not by much here, but Juju's going to have to take on a different role of being the outside guy a little bit more. So that is a concern with Juju and that transition in the role. Is he going to get much help? Is he going to get all the double teams? Well, Antonio Brown does have Tyrell Williams on the other side to at least draw some attention. Juju's going to have some players in there. But I think that's the difference right now between Brown and Smith-Schuster, the remaining Steeler versus the departing Steeler. Now, we have one more running back to talk about, and this is a guy that frustrated owners, and you'll notice that the running back, it's not who you think it is. It's Aaron Jones. So Leonard Fournette has dropped off here past the second round, basically, of this draft. And Aaron Jones, I mean, pretty much the Packers, it took them a whole season to figure out that he was the better back than Jamal Williams. Now you have Matt LaFleur. He's going to notice that Jones is a special back. Remember, Matt LaFleur is coming from Tennessee, where he kind of made Derrick Henry the workhorse. So I think Aaron Jones, he's going to look at him and say, this guy has to be on the field. You have triplets there with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. So Jones is a pretty good sneaky spot here as a running back one masquerading as a right running back two here. So Aaron Jones rounds out the kind of the two-round pick. And the last wide receiver that comes in, and I think I agree with this as well, is Mike Evans. I really like Bruce Arians coming there and Jameis Winston. No more Adam Humphries eating up some targets inside. You do have Chris Godwin on the rise, but Mike Evans still in a great spot. Godwin can legitimately draw some attention, so Evans not going to always get that tight coverage. But you also have Arians, who made great use of Larry Fitzgerald there in Arizona. So I think Godwin could see a little bit more of that Fitzgerald role where they move him around outside the slot. But Evans is still the man. They're going to rev up that connection for sure with Winston and get that downfield throw back working in Tampa Bay with their offense with Byron Leftwich also in the mix to help Arians. So there you have it. There's a look at the top 25 consensus fantasy football overall rankings for 2019. The very early edition there on Off Fantasy Pros, the consensus on April 1st. So to start April, that's what you get. No fooling. That's how it looks like. And we're breaking it down for you here as we go into the week. We'll look at the complete top 100 there this week. That's what we'll do. We'll come back and see what's going on with draft free agency and the schedule next week to kind of lay that out. But that's what we'll focus on this week, the overall rankings and what we think of them and how they can be proved, who guys are too high or too low. And we gave you that just now on the top 25. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll see you tomorrow.